This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manicero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts, type in Old Dogs, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast and subscribe. We've got a great show for you today. We got a gentleman here who loves technology. He also loves real estate investing, and best of both worlds here. I'm talking about Jake Mommelstein. Jake is the founder and CEO of Groundbreaker, a software application that helps real estate investment firms automate workflows in fundraising, investor reporting, and investment management. Jake discovered the inefficiencies of real estate investing firsthand while working at Watermark Capital Partners, a top real estate investment trust. On another late night in his office, fixing a waterfall model, he grew frustrated and started searching for a better way to do his work. He only found complex software that served large institutional firms, but nothing for the vast majority of companies who fund their deals through high net worth and accredited investors. This is where his company was born. Well, Jake, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Hey, thanks, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a really, really pleasure to have you on. I mean, this is an area that I can tell you there's a lot of frustration. Those of us that are syndicating and trying to deal with all the complexities of being good stewards with the funds that we have and communicating the right way we should be with our investors and all those things. It's definitely something that's trying for a lot of investors. But before we jump into that, I really like to find out more about you. Our audience likes to know more about the people behind the product. So if you wouldn't mind just kind of giving your story, how you kind of where you came from and grew up and moved into, this area of technology and real estate.
Yeah, happy to tell you about the background as it relates to where we are now and what we're doing. So when I got started in real estate, working for a REIT, I had experience studying real estate finance, and very entrepreneurial, grew up in an entrepreneurial family, but nobody in the software and tech industry. So I wanted to make the situation better for people because it was difficult. Graduating, university, where getting ready for that, that first job and being excited about entering the workforce, and then realizing that you have none of the technology skills that you need to be able to cope with the reality, because university doesn't really get you much exposure to the real world. It's very theoretical. So then being able to go into a REIT, see how they were working with, a lot of printouts, and processes, entering information manually in Excel, having our own internal server. I remember printing out PowerPoint presentations, having them marked through with a red pen by my boss, and then reformatting them. It just seemed antiquated to me at the time. And I think we're living in a very unique part of history where technology is becoming more and more a part of our life, but it hasn't proliferated every industry. And so this is one of the last bastions of the old world, I think, is real estate. And there's some really great things about it that I want us to keep. But as far as some of the things that are fairly, fairly manual, I just don't. I think that there's a much better way to do things, and it's exciting to be able to take those manual processes, make them more automated, and get to the work that we really care about doing most, which is underwriting a deal, analyzing it, knowing why we want to pitch it to our investors, and telling the story to our investors. And you know, take a lot of the other work and remove it from the equation somehow.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, what are the large REITs doing? I mean, is there certain software that all of them use, or do they, you know, kind of come up with a proprietary type software? I mean, how are they managing those processes that you came to deal with when you were working in that field?
So believe it or not, everybody's using Excel. I was in an office in New York City.
No way. Seriously? Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's like really, I'm impressed. I'm very impressed by some of the things people do. We're a very creative group of people, real estate entrepreneurs, and we'll find ways to figure things out. But one thing we are not is tech people. And like I was saying, when I got into this, I had no tech background, honestly. So it was a big learning curve to be able to own and operate a software company that's attacking a real estate technology problem or a real estate problem. But I remember walking into one office in New York City of a very, very prolific real estate investor. I think he'd raised somewhere around $700 million so far in his career. And his Excel model had an offering memorandum actually built into it. So there were inputs you could put into the different fields, and then it would spit out a PDF offering memorandum that he could then use to make the process of sharing the deal with investors easier.
Gee whiz, like taking Excel to the max, right? Gee whiz.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, but really the groups that might have a lot of money, like BlackRock, Goldman Sachs, they're known for building software internally, because they don't want to have any system that they're using from the market. They want to build it all themselves, and that is appropriate for a big company like that. They can hire a team of engineers to work on something long term because they're thinking about 30 years down the line or something like that. That they want to be able to continue to customize and configure the technology. But for small companies, there's really, nothing. And even those big firms that go out and do the technology, they spend so much time and so much effort, and they involve consulting companies. They've got, offshore teams, outsourced operations. And it's very expensive for these groups to be able to do it. And they're not always even that successful either.
What's the size of an investor database in some of these larger companies? I mean, that's got to be huge.
Yeah. Thousands, tens of thousands, possibly.
And then all the details about those investors, right? I mean, I can't even fathom.
Yeah. And most of the groups that were doing this, when I was starting Groundbreaker, they might have had a document portal. That's it. You get a place where you can download your K-1s and statements, and you can see maybe what deals you're invested in and high-level reporting, but you can't invest in a deal. You can't link your bank account and receive distributions through ACH. No, none of those things are really integrated, because the software wasn't built to be an all-in-one investment management software. So the whole part about capital raising didn't exist at all. That means that you have to get the data into the software by manually putting it in there somehow. So those solutions were only attacking part of the problem, which is really just giving investors a document portal.
And you're dealing primarily with PDF documents, I mean, for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what size company or what size, you know, REIT or syndication is sort of the ideal for your particular product?
So ideally, we're looking at groups that are around 10 to 25 million in equity under management or somewhere around that range. We're not looking for groups that have institutional capital that are in the hundreds of millions of dollars in equity under management or billions of dollars in equity. And I say equity because it's you know, it's helpful to understand how much capital they've actually raised from their investors, not not necessarily the debt and how good they are at leveraging their portfolio, but how much they have the capacity to buy with their equity. And it's generally groups that aren't at the point where they could necessarily have institutional capital. And so they're still working with friends and family. They're still working with accredited investors as best they can. But the experience leaves a lot to be desired. So there may be like 5-10 employees, not a huge shop. Maybe it's even one or two partners, or it could be a group of guys that said, hey, you know, while we're working and slaving away here to make an income, let's get ahead and let's invest in real estate on the side and be partners. And so they start building up a real estate empire on the side to their full-time jobs. And then all of a sudden they've got 10 million under management with 30 investors. And that's becoming more and more a headache to have to manage that reporting ongoing with their current full-time job. And so they have to find a way to transition fully into real estate, but they're still working with the same systems.
Right. Now, do these old systems with Excel, I mean, are they integrated with the, like the investor portal, or are they, you know, do they have to draw data from some other area?
So we make it easy for customers who are coming on board when they're switching from Excel or any other solution for that matter. We just take all of the documents and information that they have in raw format. I mean, Word documents, PDF, Excel, whatever you've got, you just dump it on us. And then we go through, piece it together, try to figure out what the what it means. And then we condense it into a format that maps to our database. And then we go over it with a client before we import it into the system. So for a customer who's just starting out with us and they have a portfolio using, you know, their existing tools, they're going to expect to have Groundbreaker fully loaded with every deal that they've invested in, every distribution they've ever made, every investment that's ever happened, down to the account that used it with the IN and social security numbers, every K-1, every subscription agreement into the portal.
Wow, that's amazing. I would even think that you know, this would be something that the REITs would want, you know, to replace the old Excel system, it seems like.
Yeah, in groups that are much larger are very interested in the solution as well. We decide to focus on the market we're in right now due to its complexity. It's less complex than building for an institutional shop at this time. But eventually, and over the long run, we would like to work with, you know, more people in the market and continue to push up market as we go. But we have a very large market that we're working right now with small to medium-sized syndicators.
And just kind of give me the sort of the full scope of what you do from, you know, beginning of the process, you know, the signed PPM or maybe before then, straight on through. Do you guys, you know, send newsletters and updates and, you know, generate reports and that kind of stuff for the ongoing, educational information for investors on ongoing projects?
So if you're a customer of Groundbreaker, you get your own fully branded portal with your own deals and investors. It's private only to you and your group of people that you share to, you choose to give access. And you're responsible for issuing any reports and ongoing updates to investors. You can use our tool to do it. We have all of the investors' email addresses in there and their investments in the deals. So you would be able to already segment them, and then you just go into the tool and send an email right to the investors in a specific deal.
Wow, that's great. That's great. For the ongoing, you know, dissemination of quarterly or monthly checks, mm-hmm. and are you tied into that aspect as
well?
Yes,
we are. That's one of the best things about our system is we have a direct deposit. So investors can log in, link their bank account to the account that they use. We break down by investor account, so they could have an LLC or employee benefit plan or whatever kind of entity they use to invest. Each entity that they invest with can have a different bank account associated with it to receive distribution payments. And then the syndicator or sponsor of the deal and owner of the portal can then link the account associated with that deal to the system and issue distributions out of that account. So they could have, you know, three or four deals going with different bank accounts, sending money to investors using ACH through the system, where you're entering in the payment information, tagging the distribution, whether it's a refinance or they sold the asset, or you're giving them some of their capital back, return of capital, or it's a return on capital. You classify it, describe it, and then you make the payment using our system, and it sends within 3 to 4 business days and deposits into the investor's account.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. A lot of times too, and you'll have people that are investing with certain, you know, syndicators or groups, but they'll be in like 5-6 different projects, you know, or more. How is that differentiated, you know, with the, I guess, in terms of generating your reports, you're just, you're separating that info. And for the investor side, you'd, would you have all of those projects in a report, or would you have to look up sort of individually?
So if the investor's projects are with the same syndicator, then all they have to do is log in and they'll see everything, and they can organize it by account, see it all, you know, aggregated, break it down, look in detail. If your question is asking about all of their projects, so they invest across different syndicators, the only way we get that kind of exposure is by having all those syndicators on board Groundbreaker to begin with. And then we can do something where maybe, you know, they have a single sign on to different portals and they can see all of their holdings in one place. But maybe that's like another iteration of the software as we go into the
future. Sure. Yeah. I was just thinking of one main syndicator, but yeah, that would be amazing if you had multiple syndicators and you know, that your software's, you know, used by so many different groups that you would have that problem to deal with. That'd be great. That's interesting. Well, you know, it's always fascinating to me, you know, to kind of look at sort of the heart of innovation. And a lot of times it deals with an employee working late at night and going, there's got to be a better way, you know, which is sort of your story here. You know, what kind of problems are sort of common problems that, that really showed you that there was a need here for something, you know, maybe mistakes that were in the old system that really motivated you to want to, you know, make it better?
Well, I really didn't like the way that I had to print out the presentations to get them, you know, approved and out to investors. That process requires you to save a single file on a hard drive, share it somehow, get it, you know, get it reviewed. Of course, nowadays you can do that with Google Slides, and it's a lot easier if you can collaborate and use at least Google Drive to do these things. But back in the day, there was, I don't think people even had widespread adoption really of Google Drive. That was the one very frustrating one. So when we came out with the initial product, it was just a place where you could really put an offering together. We had a PPM builder, essentially. Now, I don't like to say that because PPM has legal information in it as well. We were really just the marketing information, the photo, the offering, you know, memorandum per se for the marketing side, and then the ability to click a button and say you're interested in investing. I also spent time answering one-off investor requests very frequently, people that were looking for information that they didn't have and having to send them one-on-one emails to share this information. And I questioned whether there was a place where you could get all the information, just post it like we had Blackboard as a student in university. A teacher could post a document up and share it with all the students in the class, but we didn't really have a system like that to be able to offer to our investors at the time. So that was one thing. And when I was working on the waterfall model, gosh, was that a pain. I mean, managing all the Excel formulas to be able to do a dynamic amortization table in the situation that we did a refinance or not, and how that would influence the calculations. I thought that was probably something that I wasn't going to build into the software, but maybe there could be an easier way of being able to show investors what returns they might be able to expect on a deal, and do that in a professional manner, and also be able to do it in a way where you don't have to go one-on-one with every single person. So you can kind of cast a wide net, and then for those that are interested, they can express their own interest in the deal without you having to spend time one-on-one on the phone with them. So maybe, you know, those helped, but all in all, it was just like a big gaping hole that I saw. And I said, man, this has got to be better. And please don't cast me out as somebody who kind of found the magic bullet here. I definitely didn't have any idea that Groundbreaker, like I had a concept, but I didn't know exactly how it would look at the end of the day. We've gotten here because of iteration after iteration after iteration from feedback through thousands of conversations with customers and people in the real estate investment space, knowing what's important to them and then being able to modify the software to suit their needs.
Were there certain features that you put in early on that you really didn't know how well it'd be received, and some just ended up, you know, hitting home runs that, wow, you know, this is something we didn't anticipate?
I'll give you a negative one and I'll give you a positive one. All so right. When we were starting out, we used to have the funding bar to show how much of the deal, how much of the capital was raised. And it's funny because people would say, that's great. Like, I want to show other investors that I'm raising money to this deal and that there's not that much money left. And when you talk with people who are just starting out in the business, they love that because they're just excited about getting a deal closed. But when you talk to people who are more seasoned in the industry, they don't want to show the funding bar and how much money they've raised. They want to be completely private what the status is of the raise.
Interesting. Well, I guess that's kind of got both sides there, right?
Yeah.
so yeah, it's got to kind of hit some both.
The other one though that I can give you is the investment process. Some people want the investor to be able to go all the way through with no friction at all on the investment process. And that means that they can submit an offer, sign documents, and heck, if they want to, they can go and send funds. You may not know if that person made you the right offer or filled out the documents correctly, but people want to be able to figure that out later. And the way that we've designed the software through lots of feedback is to have stops and assurances and approvals in the process as the standard, and then build functionality on top to be able to pre-approve and move certain people along in the process automatically if you already know them and you already know that they should move forward and you can trust them.
Right. Great. Well, a lot of our listeners are folks that are passive investors. And so there's some syndicators listening too, but I would say, you know, majority of the folks listening are investors, either, you know, active or passive investor, but I'd say there's a lot that are in that realm. You've seen sort of the inside of the operations of a lot of different companies, I'm sure, and you know how they operate. What kind of tips could you give to investors, something that most investors maybe don't know, that would be an advantage to them as they're in the process of, let's say, for example, evaluating how to analyze and evaluate what would be a good company to invest with?
Yeah, I think it's hard to determine where to put your money without knowing the people that you're investing with. So obviously getting to know them really well and asking about their distribution history, knowing out of the many distributions that they've paid out, how many of them were on time. what was the actual amount of IRR that they had promised or cash on cash return, and what were their projections? How far away from the projections and the actuals did they come on a consistent basis across various deals that they've done? Talk with their investors. If you can get a reference, you should definitely be able to have some strong references from the investors. Make sure they're not related to the sponsor or anything like that. Look for people that are kind of third-party connections if you can, people that really, you know, they're not like a family friend or anything like that. I think this is mostly basic stuff that people should already know. I'd also look at the way that they store records. How are you going to store my data, my personal information? Am I at risk of that data falling into the wrong hands? Right? Like, will you send my K-1 to the wrong address? How do they maintain their data practices and store everything is important just to know. Because some of the guys that we have worked with, when we got into business with them, we got to see what their back office is like, because we take all their files. So not every sponsor does it the same way.
How would the person that's trying to assess that particular investment, how would they get access to that kind of information?
You just kind of need to know how, ask the sponsor, what do you do to store information related to my investment? Is it in Excel? Is it in the cloud? Where are you backing up this data and information? And maybe also, like, how do you store it? What are the records, where the way that you label the records? And specifically, I'm thinking about somebody who used to use the initials of an investor next to the distribution amount to know how much they were getting paid in a Microsoft Word document, which, like, only they're going to know how to read that. So if that person gets hit by a bus one day, you're kind of screwed from that operational. How are you going to take over it and know what to pay the investors there?
Sure. That would not be good. That'd be a good thing at all. Well, your business, it sounds like, you know, you've taken this thing from definitely from ground up and learned a lot in the process. But you know, what's sort of your ultimate end game? Where do you want to see this company go in the short to, you know, longer term future?
I love that question, Bill. I have big aspirations for this company, and I think that the world around us is evolving, and we have this great opportunity to be able to be a pioneer in the industry. So where I'd like to go is, real estate investing is going to be online in some form or another. And that's what's playing out. More and more companies are getting websites, or websites that have transactional portals like Groundbreaker. And there's going to be a point where everybody must have something like this to be able to compete with their peers and be seen as a legitimate company. So number one, I want to have a foothold in the industry to be one of the leading providers in investment management software, and work within the small to medium-sized market to be the household name there. And then I'd like to be able to offer services to the companies that work with us so that I can make their businesses more successful. One of the areas that I'm particularly interested in the long run is, which I don't know if it's interesting for anyone listening on this call, because it's a kind of different world, but the institutional investment space is something I know about, and institutional investment managers look to place their capital, and they look at placement agents to be able to place their capital for them. But placement agents don't really have technology or data to go after. They have relationships. Groundbreaker has access to a lot of information on deals and operators, that if operators are interested in getting access to institutional programmatic capital, structured equity and debt, they can do that at a new level. And I think that Groundbreaker has the possibility to be a vehicle that helps aspiring real estate syndicators get access to programmatic equity and debt through an institutional market that we help to create.
Great. Well, our time's kind of zipping by here, and we have a little section we call our wrap it up, where I ask you a series of quick questions, and you respond with quick answers. It's kind of a way of sharing resources, things that you have found helpful and that we can share with our listeners. So if you're ready, we can go ahead and wrap it up.
Let's do it.
All right. Favorite real estate book?
The real estate syndication book that Joe Fairless writes, because it's so simple and easy to understand.
Yeah, that's a great, great book. Yeah, I recommend that highly to people. Yeah, I think it's the best ever real estate syndication book or something like that. Yeah, awesome. How about just favorite general business book? You know, what's helped you in your business?
Work the System by Sam Carpenter.
By Sam Carpenter? Oh, yeah, definitely. I've heard that before. How about most valuable website for success? Of course, other than your own.
Saster, for anyone who works in software companies. That's a great website.
How do you spell that?
SaaStr.org.
Oh, awesome. All right. Do you have a favorite app that you work with?
For real estate people, this one actually makes sense, like using WhatsApp. It has a web-based version, so you can, a lot of people communicate through text messages nowadays, so you can use it on your computer and write text messages that'll get sent to your phone through people. So I really like WhatsApp.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I used to use it. We lived internationally, and that was great for us because we could connect with anybody anywhere. It was great. And the last question, if you lost absolutely everything that you've built up to this point and you had to rebuild your business and all you had was $1,000, what would you do with that $1,000 to rebuild your business?
With $1,000 to rebuild Groundbreaker, I'd probably just buy a plane ticket to Rio de Janeiro and say, forget it.
Hey, that's the first time I've had that answer. That's I love it. It was definitely original. That's great. That'll go down in the annals here as a solution. All right. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of folks listening that want to find out more about you and your company and your software. What's the best way for folks to reach you?
Just go to groundbreaker.co and you can fill out a form on our website. You can email jake@groundbreaker.co if you want to express interest in anything particular to me. Be happy to have you.
Awesome. Well, great. Jake, it's been awesome having you on. And we have a tradition here. I don't know if you know about it or if you got those in your notes or not, but we have all of our guests close us out with their best old hound dog howl.
All right, I'm ready for this. All right, on three. One, two, three. Howl!
All right. That was a good one, man. That was really good. Well, thanks again, Jake, for being on. I appreciate it. And I also want to thank all our old dog listeners out there, too, for joining us. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to listen and be here with us, we greatly appreciate it. Please note, everything Jake talked about today will be outlined in detail in our show notes, and show notes can be accessed at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.